Bob, what's that a position I'm in? Well, it's getting dangerous. You know what kind of a man Max is.
Yeah, I know. But you don't have to be afraid of Max, honey. And anyway, that doesn't alter how we feel about each other, does it?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob, but, well, it does. I've been thinking about things for some time. I guess this is as good a time as any to tell you.
Tell me? Tell me what, Belinda?
You know, I've had a pretty good life with Max. Okay, I hate the guy now, but boy, you know how it is. Girl kind of gets used to the creature comforts, the easy things that money can buy. Well, I've got used to the good life Max has provided, and, well, I've been thinking.
Thinking?
About the sort of life we've had together, you and I. Oh, I know you're talented and your paintings are getting recognized, but, well, your money would hardly keep me in cigarettes for a week, let's face it.
Come to the point, Belinda. What are you trying to say?
Oh, listen, Bob, don't think it wasn't fun while it lasted, but all good things come to an end.
Belinda, what is it? You promised.
Oh, that's a laugh. Promises little boy are made to be broken. I've decided that it would be safer to stay with Max.
You think you can give me the quick brush off just like that? Well, I'll show you. You rotten tramp. Just who you're pushing around.
The Sounds of Darkness. Lee Masters, FBI, who wages relentless war against crime. Lee Masters, the blind detective who challenges the Sounds of Darkness.
Well, that's all the newspapers have to say about it, Lee. I know that non-committal expression of yours. Something's bugging you, right?
Not exactly bugging me, Johnny, but I'm always a little suspicious of textbook cases, especially when homicide's involved.
Yeah, but there are such things as open and shut cases. The DA thinks this was a straight first-degree killing. It all adds up to it.
Maybe. Tell me, Johnny, what do we got for real fact?
Okay, I'll give you a rundown on what happened. This guy, Bob Syrax, an artist, is accused of shooting dead Belinda Sullivan, the wife of Max Sullivan. You know, the big real estate man and ex-drug trafficker. Incidentally, that's why Harris wants you on the job.
Yeah.
Now, it's pretty well known that she had a reputation for getting around, and Syrax was the last of a long line of boyfriends. By rights, she could have been bumped off at least four times before, on the way she acted.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, this time it was curtains for dear Belinda. It seems she went to this guy's studio and told him that their friendship was over. That much we know from Syrax's statement. So he got mad, lost his head, shot her. Three times.
Okay. But I understand that Syrax denies shooting her.
Oh, Lee, don't they all?
Nearly all. But in this case, why should Syrax admit all that business about quarreling with Belinda Sullivan, thus making himself the number one suspect, and then deny the shooting?
But he couldn't deny that she was in his studio that night, and that the police were called by a neighbor who heard the shots.
And the girl was found lying on the floor.
Exactly, with 3.32 caliber slugs lodged in her chest and stomach.
And the gun?
Yep, they found that next to the body. Syrax must have dropped that when he panicked and ran out.
So, where did they finally pick him up?
Pick him up? They didn't have to. He ran screaming into the 17th precinct, hollering about murder. As the DA said, the oldest trick in the business, playing it innocent.
What else would an innocent man do?
Huh?
Open and shut case, Johnny. Open and shut case. Morning, Syrax.
Who are you?
Lee Masters, FBI. This is Johnny Bridges.
So, must I thank you for visiting me here in jail? What do you want?
A few questions, Syrax.
Yeah, more questions. I've answered all my questions. I don't know anymore.
Well, we'll see. Now, just give us your version of the story about what happened in your studio night before last.
You've seen my statement. Why should I go over it all again? What do you want me to say? That I didn't kill her? Is that what you want? Well, I'll tell you something, Masters. I already tried to tell him that, but it didn't work.
So tell me one more time.
Okay. Belinda Sullivan came to my studio around 9:30. As you probably know, we've been seeing a lot of each other, and I got quite serious, I guess. I told her often that she should get a divorce and that we should maybe get married. I suppose I didn't realize what kind of a woman she was. Just playing it for laughs.
She gave you the brush off, huh?
Yeah, that's what she came to see me about. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I didn't want to believe it, I guess. She acted so cool, so indifferent, and then I...
Go on.
She laughed at me. That made me mad. Real mad.
And so you shot her.
No! No, that's not how it was. That's what I keep telling everyone. Sure, I was pretty mad, you understand, but kill her. Not me. I don't know what I was going to do, but I certainly wasn't going to kill her.
Well, then what happened?
Then, it's all like a nightmare. There were three quick shots. And then Belinda sort of spun round and was thrown against the wall, a look of utter disbelief in her eyes. By the third shot, she seemed to be drenched in blood. And her scream. I'll remember the look on her face on that scream to my dying day. It was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been. Tell me, Cyrex, about the gun.
Gun?
Yeah, the one they found by the body.
I don't know anything about a gun. I haven't even got a gun. I've never owned one in my life.
Mm-hmm. And what were you doing at the time that Belinda Sullivan walked into your studio?
Doing? What I'm always doing, painting. I'm supposed to have an exhibition in a week's time, and... Yeah, a week's time. That's just when my trial comes up.
Well, no promises, mind, but you might just still make it.
What?
Lee, what are you saying?
Cyrex, do you live alone?
Mostly. Except when my sister Penny checks up there now and then.
Your sister?
Yeah, Penny. She's an air stewardess for the Transamerican Airlines. So when she's in this part of town, she sleeps at my place.
And is she in this part of town at the moment?
She should be, tonight. Always right about this time of the month.
Right. Well, that's all for now, Cyrex. Okay, Johnny, call the cop. Johnny, did you have Sam make the appointment with Max Sullivan?
Yeah, I remember it well because it was right after one of the rare occasions when I ate lunch.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. Come in, take a chair. You must be Lee Masters. Who's this with you?
My assistant, Johnny Bridges.
Okay, let's get down to business. I can only give you a short while. My time's valuable.
At least you've got time. Your wife's time ran out.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it, Mr. Sullivan?
How do I feel? I'm heartbroken, naturally. What sort of question is that?
Uh-huh.
Well, what do you want?
Look, Mr. Sullivan, I'll be as brief as possible. How long had you suspected that your wife was having an affair with Robert Cyrex?
Well, that's history. And he wasn't the only one. Wasn't when a guy's married to a girl like Belinda was. He learns when to look the other way. That's the way it was with her and me. All we were husband and wife in name only. Certainly for the last 3 years.
How long were you married, Mr. Sullivan?
8 years. The hardest 8 years of my life.
So you just let things ride, huh? Cyrex and the other boyfriends?
Yep. Oh, I guess I still loved her. Must sound pretty crazy, Masters.
No. Tell me, Mr. Sullivan, did you ever visit Cyrex's studio?
No, I was never there. It was Belinda's idea to sponsor him, help the struggling artist. She paid the rent for the studio till Cyrex got established. Long ago, I got used to paying her bills, financing her little whims.
So you weren't jealous of Cyrex in any way?
Jealous. I didn't think they still used that word. That's kind of quaint.
Did you ever meet Cyrex?
Oh, why, sure. Yeah, Belinda brought him here several times. We had a couple of parties for him, introduced him to a few of the right people. Sold a few pictures that way.
Mr. Sullivan, What do you think of Cyrex as a man?
Oh, it doesn't matter what I thought of him. Killed my wife.
Could be.
How's that?
In this business, Mr. Sullivan, nothing is certain.
Hmm? Well, I don't mind telling you, Masters. I hope he goes to the chair.
Okay, I guess we've taken up enough of your time, Mr. Sullivan. Oh, there is just one more thing.
Yeah?
Did you know Cyrex had a sister?
Hmm? Oh, well, yeah. Penny. What about her?
You ever meet her?
Sure. Guess so. Oh, you know, when she was in town, she came around here with a brother once or twice, I guess. And what about her?
Just checking, Mr. Sullivan. Just checking. Well, what did you make of that one, Johnny?
Seemed a pretty cool customer to me.
Tell me, what did Sullivan look like? Can you describe his physical appearance?
Well, he was about 5'10", around 180 pounds. You know, big guy. Mm-hmm. Gray hair, close-cropped, you know. Distinguished in a tough kind of way. Typical business executive. Clean-shaven.
Okay, Johnny. I got the picture. Now, over to East 59th Street. We're going to take a look at the studio.
Okay. Might as well see this thing through.
That's what you paid for, Johnny. You're my eyes, remember?
How can I forget? Celie, when do we get to eat, huh?
You know, Johnny, you're always hungry. They call you the eyes, but I shall always remember you as the mouth.
How are you figuring on getting into the studio, Lee?
We knock on the door, Johnny.
Huh?
Yeah, remember, Penny Cyrex is due to be here about this time. If not, we wait until she shows up.
Yeah, maybe fill in time buying a couple of hamburgers, huh?
Johnny, a hungry stomach makes sharper eyes.
Oh, sure. She's nodding, Lee. Let's go grab something to eat.
Yes? What do you want?
Lee Masters, FBI.
Oh.
I'm sorry to have to call on you, but there are one or two questions we must ask you. May we come in?
I suppose so.
Thank you.
I guess I know why you're here. It's about Bob, isn't it?
You've heard what happened.
Yeah. As soon as we landed this afternoon, I went straight to see Bob. This is a terrible thing to have happened. But she had it coming to her, sooner or later. You'd know that if you'd ever met Belinda Sullivan.
You met her, then?
Yeah, I met her.
Where?
Over at the Sullivan apartment. A few social evenings, you know. But the pleasure was all theirs. The real society set up. Cocktail gossip. What attracted Bob into that set, I'll never understand.
Well, the answer to that is Mrs. Sullivan's charm. Or her money. In a way, I guess you could say she did your brother a lot of good.
A lot of good? So good that right now my brother's behind bars with a grand jury waiting to send him to the electric chair. I warned him, but he wouldn't listen. You don't know my brother. Sure, he's talented. He did well at college, but... Oh, when it came to women, he had a talent for picking the wrong ones. And Belinda Sullivan was a wrong one, believe me. They didn't come any wronger than her.
Hmm. Tell me one thing, Miss Cyrex. What time did your flight touch down this afternoon?
5:03, exactly. As soon as I got in, I went to see Bob, like I told you.
Miss Cyrex, what flight were you on?
The New York-Los Angeles flight. I'm with Transamerican. It's all internal routes. Not very exciting, really.
How do you get on with Max Sullivan?
All right, I guess. He's just a guy. I met him 2 or 3 times.
To your knowledge, has Max ever come here, to this studio?
Why, yeah. Come to think of it, he was here once. Bob and I gave a little sort of studio party. And Max and Belinda stopped by for a while.
Hmm. Miss Cyrex, do you think your brother killed Belinda Sullivan?
Well, what can I say to that? You're the guys who know the score. You think he did it. What difference does my opinion make?
Miss Cyrex, you haven't answered my question. What do you personally believe, deep down?
Oh, what's the use? I've got to be honest with myself. Bob is a very complex character.
Okay, Miss Cyrex, that's all I want at the moment. Do you mind if we go into the studio?
I guess not. If you'll excuse me, I'm pretty tired. I think I'll go to bed.
Thanks.
I guess the studio's through here, Lee, if I can find a light switch. Oh, there we are. That's better.
What do we do now, Lee?
And I want you to describe the room to me, Johnny.
Well, it's pretty big, about 40 by 25, I'd say. Large windows occupying one wall to catch the light. Pretty bare. Easel, a couple of chairs, an unfinished portrait on the easel. Oh, down the far end, there's stacks of canvases, big ones against the wall. One small window, I guess that's the fire escape. Blood on the side wall. Just about where you're standing, Lee, that's the outline of the body drawn in chalk that the cops did.
What's that? Oh, yeah, linseed oil, of course. Strong smell. Well, that figures. Now, Johnny, take me over to the far end, where the big canvases are.
Okay, Lee. This is where they are, Lee. Gee, this guy sure painted big stuff. Real king-size art. The three or four pictures as big as the wall.
Take me to the biggest.
You're standing right next to it, Lee.
Okay. Now put my hand on the edge, the left-hand edge. You know, looking at it.
Sure, Lee, but... What you doing, Lee?
Very interesting.
Well?
There are three distinct smells here, Johnny. Linseed oil, perfume of some kind, and cordite.
Cordite? Over here, you mean? But she was shot over the far end by the easel.
Wait, Johnny. If I run my fingers over the edge of this canvas... Yeah. Yeah. I can feel a distinct trace of... Could it be powder burn? Take a look, will you?
Okay, Lee. Yeah, it could be. It's so smaller, I can just see it. So what does it mean?
It means, Johnny, that someone else fired a gun in this room within the last few days.
So what are we doing back here at Max Sullivan's apartment, Lee?
Well, I just want to satisfy myself on one or two points.
Okay, I call the elevator. Here it is. Oh, excuse me.
Sorry, sir.
In we go, Lee.
Wait a minute, Johnny.
Huh?
Who was that guy who came out of the lift?
Oh, it's just a guy, probably the janitor. What?
Is there anything unusual about him, Johnny? Quick.
No, just an old fellow. He's got a parcel under his arm, and if that's unusual, well, I...
Get him, Johnny. Fast. Get him back here.
Okay. Hey, excuse me, I'd like to work with you.
Hey, what are you doing?
We're
going
to have work
if you
can come back with us.
Just say what if, because I ain't done nothing...
That's just fine. You got nothing to worry about. Here he is, Lee.
It's okay, fella. Relax. We're from the FBI.
FBI?
Who are you?
Fred Bennett. I'm the janitor here.
Okay. What's in the parcel?
There ain't nothing in here, honest.
Open it.
Now, look here. You got no right to do
okay,
this.
Okay, Johnny. Open it up.
That's my parcel.
It's an overcoat.
Uh-huh.
A very expensive overcoat. Pretty new with that.
Give it here. Where did you get this coat, Bennett?
I didn't mean no harm. I just found it. It didn't seem to belong to nobody, so I just...
Where did you find it?
It was thrown in the trash dump, ready for the incinerator. I sometimes pick up little things that the rich folks here don't want, you know. You'd be surprised at some of the expensive stuff I found. I mean, a guy on my paying was...
Okay, Bennett,
sort of
okay.
Out of it, yeah.
Push off. Without the coat.
Yes, sure, sir. Didn't mean no harm.
So you got a nice coat. So? Now you'll be warm this winter?
Warm inside, Johnny. Warm inside.
Well, Lee, I sure got to hand it to you. I wish I was dead.
Don't feel too badly about it, Johnny. Just accept it as another chapter in the book of experience. When something appears obvious, always try to ask yourself... What is reality?
Yeah. And maybe I gotta be blind first.
It helps.
Anyway, the result's very pleasing. Cyrax released in the DA with a red face. Hey, but tell me, Lee, what made you suspect Max Sullivan in the first place?
He always had a motive. The strongest motive. Jealousy. When you read me the report from the laboratory on the murder weapon, I was surprised to find that there was not a trace of paint on any part of it.
Oh, yeah, but Cyrax could have cleaned it off.
What do you clean paint off with, Johnny? A solvent like turpentine. Well, there was no trace of that either. If Cyrax had shot her, he would have left paint on that gun, since he was painting when Belinda Sullivan visited him.
Yeah, that's true.
The next point came when we called on Max Sullivan. According to him, he'd never been to Cyrax's studio.
Yeah.
Well, this is exactly what he would say. But Penny Cyrax contradicted that statement. Then, as soon as we entered Sullivan's apartment, I smelled a certain kind of perfume. It was the same perfume that I detected later when we went to the studio.
Uh-huh.
Also, it was clear that whoever really shot Belinda Sullivan was concealed behind those big canvases. Remember the powder burn and the smell of cordite?
Yeah, I remember.
Finally, we had a lucky break, running into that janitor in Sullivan's apartment block. As soon as that guy came out of the elevator with that parcel containing the coat, I immediately smelt linseed oil. So whoever wore that coat had been near linseed oil recently.
Well, that figures.
As you know, the coat belonged to Max Sullivan, who had tried to get rid of it quietly. So there it is, Johnny.
Yep, there it is.
By the way, what's that note you're reading there?
Oh, gee, I can't hide a thing from you, Lee.
So what is it?
Well, it's an invitation. Robert Cyrax requests the pleasure of the company of Mr. Lee Masters and Mr. Johnny Bridges at a private showing of his most recent paintings. Signed, Robert Cyrax, with the deepest gratitude. Hey, say, that's kind of nice, isn't it?
Okay, Johnny, I'll leave it to you to represent the FBI. You can describe each picture to me afterwards.
Huh? Oh, now, Lee, you know I don't know anything about paintings. Look, what do I know about art? And anyway, I don't see why I should be the only one to suffer by going along to this exit.
You have been listening to The Sounds of Darkness. Join the world of Lee Masters, the blind detective, in The Sounds of Darkness. The Sounds of Darkness is produced by Harry Van Beek.